Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to our show. I'm Lady Carolyn.
I'm the Elder Clayton Evans.
And we want to thank you for joining us tonight. Our topic tonight is relationship versus position. But before we get started, we would like to have some prayers so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen.
Amen. Our Father and our God, we come before your throne, Father God, with an humble heart, asking you, Father God, to speak to us, Father God, through your Holy Spirit, Father God. We thank you, Father God, as we yield to your word in your way right now, Father God, to be used as willing vessels in your service, Father God. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, for the sake we pray. For your alone and for you. Amen.
Amen. And thank you. Again, our topic is relationship versus position. Tonight we will be discussing some personal issues that will help us to understand our positions as husband and wife and wives, and how our position with God is not about having a relationship with each other or a relationship with God, but knowing what our position in Christ is so that we can maintain peace and order in our relationships by developing the ability to operate in love as God ordained. And tonight we're coming out of Ephesians, chapter 5, we're going to be doing verse 22 through 28, coming out of the Message Bible. And the word is, wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. Amen?
Amen.
And that is the word of God.
For the people of God, thanks be unto God.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen.
All right.
Wow. Heard a powerful message today, and in that message it was talking about relationship versus position. And word was brought out that we've always been taught that having a relationship with God, and I believe that is in the context of our praise and our worship and our prayers. But God is a God of order. And when he created creation, he put everything in a position and an order. And by doing that, it established his will in the earth. And it's the same way with the marriage arrangement, you know, that we have a position as husbands and wives. And it's an incumbent on us to know that position so that we can properly operate in that position and to fulfill the will of God in our lives, amen. So we want to kind of examine that today and really get a better understanding of what it is that is required of us in the marriage relationship so that we will be positioned to do what is required of us as husbands and wives and be more effective in that, you know, so that we can get all that God has that he wants to bless us with in our relationship to one another. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And it is very important that we do understand that it's not about us. It's never been about us. And God did set some laws down for us to understand what our position is. Clear in the word, you know, that you love me as Christ loves the church. And that my position in Christ is to help to maintain that leadership over my life that you have in my life, to understand that I'm up under that leadership, and I'm going to be submissive to you in your leadership to me, you know, after you submit to Christ, of course.
And leadership is a position.
Amen.
It's not a relationship. It's a position. And from that position of leadership, it requires that we learn how to guide each other,
mm-hmm.
how to instruct each other, how to maintain. It encompasses a lot of things that we really don't consider, you know, as being the head of the household. And we need divine guidance for that, because if we don't know what it is that God requires of us, then we're going to our own humanity and our own thinking as how things are supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to keep things decent and in order, we need to seek first God, His word, and His kingdom in order for us to be able to do what is required of us. So we were talking earlier about some friends of ours that are having some problems, and it kind of grieved my heart to hear what was going on. And a lot of that is due to not being in position, you know, and not willing to do the work together to maintain the marriage. And a lot of times we let feelings really mess us up.
And rule us.
In our relationship, you know, the emotions that we have, how we are so easily offended by the other person, what they do or don't do or say or don't say. And it's really sad because during our love walk, we have found that there's such a rich blessing when we are what we're supposed to be. And we're trying to continue to grow and know what it is to have that unconditional love in a relationship. And you know, the root word to that word is relate, how we relate to one another, you know, how we consider each other's feelings, respect each other's thoughts, you know, be attentive to what's being said when we have a conversation. You know, showing that we have a true interest and concern about that other individual and not glossing over things and taking things for granted, you know, that makes that person feel like they're not important, you know. It's just a lot of times I think back to why do people do the things that they do in a relationship? You know what I'm saying? If I don't really love you and have your heart and your best interest in mind, why play that emotional game with you? Why get involved and mess your life up because I don't really know what it is that I want? I know I want somebody in my life, you know, but at the same time, I really don't know what it is that I want.
Well, you know why we do that. We don't know.
We don't know
why. But, you know, if, you know, in hindsight, we can always look and see that motives have a whole lot to do with it. You know, we was talking about how people go into marriages for different reasons. And sometimes you may think that the person has something that you want that you can get. It may be monetary, you know. You even have people getting married, you know, not just for the financial gain, but for stability and security. You know, I almost married someone for security. And it wasn't that I cared about this person or I knew that this was the one. You know, I was thinking about not being employed myself, just having a child. Exactly. Having a child, and I wanted to be able to have someone in my life that was working and was gonna and could provide. You know, and I'm grateful that God in His ultimate wisdom, you know, was not gonna let a lot of it happen for me. You know, but those are the type of things that we think about when we're going into relationships, you know, and then we have the carnality, you know, of flesh that we just want to be with somebody. Sometimes it doesn't matter who it is or how they are or whatever. Just say you have somebody. I remember I was talking to a lady that used to sponsor me, and she said that a lot of times we lie to ourselves, you know, telling ourselves that, you know, this is a good man, you know, just to have a man there, it's a man, just like having a dead man, you know. But you invite people over to say, come on, yeah, I got somebody in the house, here he is, and all you everybody that you know that got good sense saying, but girl, he dead. And you saying, but no, he ain't. He all right, he a good man, you know. And we can go so far in denial about things like that because we're not basing it on a understanding of what it is that God wants for us. You know, just like we talked about before in one of our shows, we was talking about how we had a dream, you know, as girls to be married, we want to be wed, and yeah, want to be wed and want to fly, want to show out, want everybody to know. You know, we want to walk up in places with somebody on our arm. And when we come home and face the reality that there's some work to be done here, you know, that there is another person here. And when we start looking at the fact that there's another person here and we go off into those selfish things, that's where a whole lot of that chaos is because, of course, I'm out of position when it's all about me, 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 me.
Yeah.
And I can't operate in love without the love of God and without knowing who God is and what God wants for me in my life. And just like you were saying last night, seek the kingdom of God first and all those things will be added to you. Okay, if I'm not seeking God, what's added to me?
Nothing.
He said it. Without love, nothing. You know, and the relationship that we were talking about earlier, you know, it is a sad thing because you got an individual that wants to be married,
right,
that wants to do the work in the marriage, but the other person does not want to do the work in the marriage. So you got a person that's, you know, being destroyed, you know, by his belief that this marriage can work. And when you look at the other person that doesn't want to do the work, because why is it? It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. There's no fantasy involved in this. We can go up in our head and try to make you be somebody that you're not to us, but we need to do just like the word said and come to know who you are and find out, you know, how much can we take? How much can we really deal with? Because there's some boundaries that can be set. But without communication, without understanding, without compassion, without sharing, without caring, without love, we can't go through it.
We can't
make it through it.
And you have to posture yourself in that position, you know, to purpose your love for the individual and to love that person on purpose.
Amen.
You know, and wow, it really grieves my spirit to hear because in the beginning, I really saw so much hope, you know.
Amen.
They were coming to the luncheons, and they were, you know, well, I thought things would be different.
Right.
I'll put it that way. But at the same time, though, you never know what's going on behind the scenes and what's really in a person's heart, you know what I'm saying? So it's incumbent on us as we, you know, go through life to really look at what it is that we want, you know, in a relationship. But we need to understand that once we get there, the position that we have and what it is that that we are responsible for in that relationship, you know, as far as that person is concerned. Because once you get a woman's emotions, once they have feelings for you, the whole relationship changes.
Yes, it does.
It changes,
mm-hmm.
You know.
And men need to understand that, too, because a lot of men think that it's okay, and women, too, I'm going to say a lot of people, think that it's okay to lay down, you know, and to have those kind of sexual relationships with people, and that they're going to get up, and it's going to be the same relationship that it was before they laid down, and it's not. You know, we're dropping those spirits off into each other, you know, and those spirits become those soul ties that we have. And if you don't really know who this person is that you're sleeping with, you don't know what kind of spirits are contained in you now, you know, with you now. And, you know, just like having kids outside of marriage, and we become tied to these people for the life of these children, you know, and we don't even know who they are. And we raising these children and wondering, you know, we got these little demon seeds running around here, wondering what's wrong with this child, because now you got a missing parent. You don't have nothing to compare it to, you know what I'm saying? But there's a part of that person in this child. In this child.
That is so true.
You know, and we need to find out who these people are. I remember my aunt one time, she told me, she said, when you get ready today, she said, get that whole, fill out a whole application, because, you know, older people used to always ask you, who your people?
Mm-hmm.
When you brought somebody home, they always question your name, who your people?
Family tree.
Yes, because we need to know, you know, what kind of positions do these people hold in relationships with each other? You know, who are these? Where this bloodline come from? Because it's very important, because now you tied to this bloodline. That's a covenant.
That's right, and that's why in the Bible, you know, you get the certain chapters, and they list the genealogy.
Amen.
You know, they take you back to where, you know, this bloodline originated from,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's incumbent on us to understand, excuse me, how important that is. You know, for a long time with me, you know, there was a question in my life as to my people.
Okay.
You know, I only go back to my grandmother.
Mm.
You know, that's just what?
Two generations.
Two generations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it goes back way further than that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was trying to get a better understanding of who I am,
mm-hmm.
You know. So that is very key and very important to just knowing who you are.
That's right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And that helps you better position yourself as to who you are and why you feel the way you feel or why you think the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things of that nature, because it's very important to know that and to have that missing, you know, it really messes a lot of people
up. A lot of people miss
it. You know, because you don't have anything to really go back and formulate who you are,
mm-hmm.
Where you come from, what you're about, you know.
You get those identity crises.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's good that God gives us that position in Him,
mm-hmm.
You know, because He is our Creator. And for those missing pieces that we do have, He can fill in the blanks. He can,
mm-hmm.
He can be all that we need to feel whole in ourselves,
mm-hmm.
And not fill that empty space that we're trying to fill that void in our life to really feel like a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I just thank God that I found that, you know, in Him.
Amen.
And now I don't really, I mean, not saying that I don't think about it sometimes, but it's not a pressing issue in my life anymore, because in Him I found, you know, who I am,
mm-hmm.
You know, and knowing that I live and breathe and move because of Him,
mm-hmm.
You know, lets me know that through Christ I can do all things, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
He gives me that strength that I didn't have before, because I felt like I just wasn't complete, you know.
I hear you, because I can relate to that. You know, I had some of the same issues too, and I think it does affect our relationship with others. You know, when we don't have that relationship that we want with family, you know, with other family members, and then we come into relationships looking for someone to fulfill all of those needs. I can remember being a young girl and being attracted to older men because I did not have that relationship with my father that I needed to have with a father, you know. So you still out there searching for that fatherly love. You know, you still got young men that do the same thing. They looking for that motherly love. You know, they call it dating a cougar now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a whole different thing because they're looking for some money. But you do have some younger men that want older women to take care of them. They still looking for that nurturing.
Right.
You know, somebody that'll cook for them, somebody that'll have a clean house, you know, and somebody else going to work, you know, and coming home and treating them like they baby, you know. And it can mess a lot of people up because those are not the positions that we're supposed to be in.
Right.
You know, we're not supposed to have those type of relationships. You know, when Lot saw his dad naked, you know, that was out of order.
Noah
saw his dad naked, that was out of order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you look at what it is that you're looking for in a relationship, ask yourself, you know, are you even in the position that you're supposed to be in before you go into a relationship?
Right.
You know, because if we come into a relationship, I was telling you this before, broken, and most 9 times out of 10, we're going to attract other broken people, you know, and you just got a broken situation. That's all you got. But if you start developing those characteristics, those traits, you know, those personalities and getting those things inside of you that Christ wants you to have inside of you, you know, the ability to operate in love a little better, and then try to be able to, you know, have a relationship with someone else. Because we can avoid a whole lot of issues if we would learn more about who we are and whose we are before we go over and try to make somebody else ours, you know.
And then it goes back too to that saying, you know, in a relationship it's a 50-50 thing.
Mm.
Why you want half of anything?
Right.
So Christ says that he came to give us life and life more abundantly, you know. And then the scripture says, you know, in certain scriptures, you know, that a person needed to be healed, and Jesus told him he would be made whole.
Amen.
You know, we want to be whole,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's what it's all about, you know. It's not just fragments that we want to give people of our lives,
right.
You know what I'm saying, or get from people in our lives. It's being whole, it's being one, you know. And that's what makes it complete, you know. The Bible says when we join each other in marriage, we become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not half of one,
right.
But we become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand, you know, as Christ loved the church, he gave of himself. He gave all he had to give, he gave.
Mm-hmm.
So in that same token, when we position ourselves as the head, then we supposed to give our all,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I know that may be difficult for us at times, but that's what's required of us in that position,
mm-hmm.
to give all, because he gave all. He set the example, you know. So if we followers of Christ, then that's what we're supposed to do, give our all,
mm-hmm.
you know. And in doing that, you know, we fulfill that it's a calling, really, as a husband and as a father, you know. And we need to do the same for our children,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they can be whole and not fragmented, you know. I think a lot of self-esteem problems derive from that, you know, not being whole, you know, from being fragmented, from feeling like, you know, we're inadequate and are dealing with people and not measuring up to what people expect of us. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I love that scripture. We can do all things through Christ Jesus. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, so that gives us what we need to empower ourselves to be able to fill that position and be whole. You know, so.
And it is through Christ. Through Christ. But we don't know who Christ is. That's where the trouble begins. That's where the trouble begins. And it's best to try as soon as you can to start developing your study habits of reading and finding out who God is and what God wants from you in your life.
Yeah.
You know what he has for you in your life. Who? Go ahead.
As you said, apart from him, we're nothing.
Right.
We can't do nothing, you know. And, you know, a bishop said this morning, he was talking about numbers. And he said, zero by itself is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put a one in front of it, that zero has value.
Right.
You can have a thousand zeros.
Mm-hmm.
It still don't mean nothing. But you put a one in front of it, and it gives all those zeros value. You know? So we have that one. We have Jesus in our life.
Mm-hmm.
That gives our life value
right.
and purpose
Amen.
And meaning. You know? And I thought that was so powerful because a lot of people end up with zeros in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to make something out of nothing, you know. The only person I know that can make something out of nothing is God.
Mm-hmm.
He did it. He spoke, let there be, and it was. So if you have him in your life, those zeros become heroes. You know, they could come with some value and some purpose and some meaning.
Yeah, because if you take two zeros and put a one in front of you, got 100.
You got 100.
And you can give 100% now.
That's right. That's right. Amen. So, you know. Apart, like I said, apart from him, though, we're nothing.
We're nothing.
So we have to have that foundation and know the position that he has for us in life in order to give our life that value, that worth it needs to be able to be whole and fulfilled in life,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I just thank God for the privilege and the opportunity and the sense to know that without him, I am nothing. You know, I am nothing. I can't be nothing to you. I can't be nothing to our son. I can't even be anything to myself without him.
Yeah, we lived like that before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's not really living.
It was
not living at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that filled our hearts with love.
Yes.
His love. And that is being such a beautiful experience that continues to grow and flourish. And I thank God for that.
I do too.
And we have positioned us now to be able to move together in him and do the work.
And do the
that
work.
That he has called us to do.
Amen.
And I'm grateful for
that. And so am I. And I really enjoyed ministering with you again today. And I want to thank you. And I want to ask you to pray us out.
Well, Father God, we thank you once again to be using your service, Father God. And we hope that something was said, Father God, that will save, deliver, and set free to help us all. Help us to find our position in you, Father God, so that we can relate to one another better, dear Heavenly Father. And we ask now, Father God, these things in Jesus' name, for the sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you so much.
Amen.
And again, we want to thank you for joining us, and we hope that you will join us again. Just remember that no matter what the problem is, the situation or the circumstance, the lesson is always love. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.